Welcome to the Jeff Knows Inc. Show with your host, Jeff Lopes, where we bring you the world's top athletes, celebrities, entrepreneurs, influencers, and their journeys to success.
Welcome to episode 216 of the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Lopes. Super excited. This week's guest is Kelsey Sheeran. If you're Canadian, you're going to love this podcast. So much information. We talk made medically assisted in dying. We talk Trudeau. We talk immigration. We talk politics. Great, great conversation. Like all weeks, I just want to do a shout out to one of our fans that took the time of the day to leave a feedback. This week is J Bond 26, and he says, great list of guests, incredible conversation, really starting to be one of my favorite podcasts. So big shout out, thank you very much for that. Like all weeks, guys, if you guys enjoy this podcast, leave a feedback, leave a review. You guys are the engine that runs this podcast, so we need your feedback to continue to bring on great guests. Hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Sit back and enjoy. We are live. We are live on the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Lopes. Super excited to have on today, Kelsey Sheeran. What is up?
Not much, man. Just getting the day started.
Early morning. Kelsey is a fellow Canadian out in BC, so it's bright and early, 7 a.m. for her, so I appreciate her being on. You have such an incredible story. You've been on a ton of podcasts. You've told your story probably a million times. So I just want to dive into you. I mean, the military, what got you into the military, what brought interest for you to get into the military? And then there's so many topics that I've heard you talk about that I want to really dive into, like medically assisted in dying and all that kind of stuff like that. So let's start off with your story. Like growing up, what drove you to get into the military as a young female in Canada?
I had no want to be in the military my whole life. I was never raised around guns. I was never introduced to that type of service. I always knew that it was something that people did, but in Canada, it was not a conversation. We didn't have what I like to joke around and say is like the recruiters at your high school showing up at your malls being like, what are you doing with your life? We didn't have that. That wasn't allowed. And it was never a raw in Canada. You know, we don't about our military too much. They're there when we kind of need them ish, but we don't really have those kinds of conversations. I used to see people with veteran plates, and everyone was in their like 80s and 90s. They had to be, they had veteran plates. That's what that computed. Cause you know, in high school and elementary school, you're not really taught much in Canada about wars that we're involved in. You kind of skate over it very briefly. You know, I compare it to America a lot because I can talk to my American friends and they know every war that Americans died in. They know the beaches they were on. They know the dates and times. Like they know these things. Yeah. They know these things because America wants to know their past so that we don't make the same mistakes. But for some reason, Canada seems to skate over the important stuff. So when it comes to the military, it was never a conversation of, hey, I'm good. That's an option. That was never an option for me. So I joined the military when I was 18. I went to college at Algonquin in Ottawa. I just frankly got into any program they would allow me into. I just wanted out of the small town that I was in, which was Campbellford, Ontario, near the Trenton Air Base.
Yeah.
And, you know, our biggest claim to fame is we have a massive toonie in our town. Like there's not a lot going on. There's a couple streetlights. When I lived there, there was not much. So I wanted out of the town. I wanted out of the small community, because I just didn't feel like I fit. When we moved there, I didn't fit. I moved from Cobourg, Ontario. I went to St. Mary's High School and I went to elementary school there. And I just, even then, I was at a Catholic school. I didn't fit. Religion wasn't a thing for me. And so I had never found a position, a space where I was like, this is where I want to be. And so when I went to Ottawa, I was out on my own. I went early to try out for the college soccer team, made it about halfway through tryouts, didn't get any further. And I was like, well, I don't really want to be here. I don't want to be in travel and tourism. Like, what even is that? It was just the program they put me in. So I was on the bus, Remembrance Day ceremony, and I was coming back and there was a lady on the bus and she was an older lady and she had an Air Force uniform and a whole bunch of medals. And I started speaking with her, and in a very brief moment, it kind of, you know, shined a light and a spark, if you will, something in me that clicked. And I decided that I was going to quit college and go join the Army the next day. And so that's what I did. And at the time, this was 2007. So we knew the war was going on. We knew, well, if you paid attention to anything, you knew the war was going on. Yeah. You didn't see, we weren't seeing the way America was discussing it on the media, but you were seeing it. And we were at that point just switching over to an ISAF mission set, which meant we were no longer doing as much United Nations type work where it was, we would just watch you die. Instead, we could shoot back this time. You know, it wasn't a repeat of Bosnia or Rwanda. It was very different. And this was the first time in a long time Canada had been involved in something that allowed us to use our weapons and our training. And so it was a very different idea of joining the military at that time. But when I walked into the recruiter's office, they made that very clear, you know, hey, if you do join right now, unfortunately, and fortunately, you're going to be going overseas. And that's just part of the deal. And that was literally the first things out of their mouths, because they wanted people to be very clear that if you go in, there is a high chance, especially if you were going to go into a DAGD Red, which was a unit or a trade that really needed people in it. So for me, somewhat the positions I wanted to be, kind of did a little very quick research on what did I want to do. And they told me I was too small for infantry, so I could do artillery, which is ironic. The rounds weigh the same as me. So I joined, I got accepted in fairly quickly. I was sworn in. Oh, I joined in November. We went to Remembrance Day. So I joined at the end of November. I was sworn in December and I was in basic training January 3rd. So it was a really, really quick turnaround time for me. And then, you know, I did all of the, I went to Saint-Jean, Quebec and did the, you know, the basic BMQ. And then I went off to Gagetown to do the SQ and DP1, which is all your weapons handling. So your grenades, your Carl Gustavs, your C7, C8s, any sort of machine guns, that kind of stuff. And then my trade specific training, which is your DP1, which is for me, artillery. So I would then go and learn how to run the 105s and the mortars. And that was the course I had to take. And then after that, I got posted out to a unit. So yeah, that's why I joined. Just a lady on a bus.
Wow. Okay. There's a few things I want to dive in there. One, through this whole process, you were how old at this point?
18.
Obviously, you're an adult, young adult, but what were you? What were your parents' thoughts? Because obviously, you didn't have a history. I'm assuming, did you have any family or anything in the military prior?
I didn't know that I did. I didn't know that I had. My grandfather was my dad's dad. He passed away when I was 3. He served in World War II.
Okay.
He, as far as I was told, his job was to run mail from back end to the front lines. And that's, I haven't been told anything else about it. Our family doesn't really talk about the history, which is something I'm trying to break the habits of, because it's how, you know, not only memories and history gets lost, but it's how we keep repeating bad behaviors. So I try really hard to change that. But anyway, and apparently I have a cousin who served, but I don't know them either. So there is a very brief, sporadic points of military. My grandfather on my mother's side actually escaped right after the Nazis came out of Hungary and the Soviets went in. He came to Canada on a boat and settled in the Trenton area, and he worked at Badawa Shoe Factory. So yeah, I do come from a war-ish type of people, but they're not the ones that actually served a lot. You know, it's more of the refugee status.
How were your parents? What were their reaction when you said, as a young lady, I want to join the military?
I mean, if you knew me when I was younger, it made sense.
Okay.
It tracked. It wasn't an odd, off-the-cuff, kind of weird situation. Very A-type personality in anything that I do, and I kind of always have been. But that comes from sports, and that comes from, you know, being a leader on teams, and that comes from fighting. And so there was always this idea that I'd be doing something outside the box. I just quite literally had no idea what that would be.
And there's one more thing I want to talk to before we continue the story. You had mentioned when you're dealing with the Americans and the USA and how they really engage to learn their history, their history of their wars, their battles on the beaches, all that stuff like that. And we in Canada don't talk about it. And just like, I got 2 kids in high school and they come back with history, but like they never talk about anything like that. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Where's your mindset? And how do we change that? Or is there any way of changing that for the next generation to learn more about where I mean, there's been incredible, incredible history with Canadian militaries and things that have happened, but we don't talk about it. How do we change that? And where's the future with that?
Well, I mean, let's look at it this way without being like a complete bummer. My husband calls me Debbie Downer from SNL. Let's be honest with ourselves for like 3.5 seconds when our own prime minister is wiping off the face of the earth and our passport's Vimy Ridge. So most Canadians don't even know about Vimy Ridge. Okay. They don't understand what Vimy Ridge even is. And that says everything to me when the one thing that we have that is in Canada that we teach, we're taking off of a document that shows what it means to be Canadian. And it just shows that there is no value. They don't value our service. It's almost like the current administration wants to whitewash, if you will, ironically enough, because he does blackface regularly enough. He wants to whitewash over our badass Canadians are in the military. Because if you show that we are as strong as we actually are, and you show that Canada has a propensity for violence, if you allow us to, that we can protect ourselves, that we can stand up for ourselves, then people will actually start standing up for themselves. And it's just funny to me how in the past handful of years, after all of the control tactics and fear mongering, that they're now attacking the military in a way and quite literally wiping the history, our history off of face of the earth, as if we don't have enough soldiers, as if we're not strong enough, as if we can't protect ourselves, all the way down to from Vimy Ridge to we hold the longest sniper shots, like 1, 2, and 3 in the world from the most dangerous men, you know? So it's like, we quite literally have the badass people in the world, but teach about them. It's almost like we're shameful. It's almost like there's a shame attached to fighting in these wars or doing these things. And so we don't teach them anymore, because if you teach things that actually matter, then those people are going to wake up.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
And do you think a changing of our administration would make a difference in that?
Well, let's look at this for a second. How long does it take for a textbook actually to get made and put into a school system? I mean, our kids are still learning off of textbooks that are decades old.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk about that all the time. Our system is so messed up. I mean, life lessons. I mean, this is pure off topic, but I talk about this on a regular basis where there's three things I think every high school should be teaching. It's sales, public speaking, and communication, community. And they don't teach those three things. So kids get out of high school, they're not prepared for the real world. So, I mean, history is a huge, it's something that I talk to my children about. I mean, it's not this, I mean, that they don't talk about. And now that it's being wiped out even more, like you're saying, because as a Canadian and a proud Canadian, like as you're saying that, there are certain things that I don't even know about because it's not brought into the media. There's not, there's not, unless you're heavily involved in it and fighting for it and have a passion for it, the regular everyday person going to work, they don't hear about any of this.
Well, it's hard to hear about it when the administration pays for the media. And that's not like conspiratorial. That's like,
no, it's true. It's true. 100%. Yeah.
And they told it right to my face too. Also during the Afghan pullout, they have me on to, and I quote, talk about how angry Afghan veterans must feel right now. And they said, so you want to gaslight a bunch of veterans on national television? I said, do you really think that's a good idea? Came back the next day that when the election came out, that they were directly instructed to cancel anything Afghan related and to only talk about this. And that came straight from the top. And the thing that shows me is that the important things that Canadians need to know about, the reason we don't know about them is because they're making sure we don't know about them. Because if we did know about them, we'd be outraged.
Is there any independent media in Canada that is bringing these things to light? Because in the US, there are independent media that bring a lot of things to light. In Canada, is there any that you could bring to topics to let people hear about or learn more about?
I mean, the thing with Canada is it's tricky because they started out, like Rebel started out really good. They started out really good. You know, True North is good. I look at True North a lot. I know those guys are dialed there. But, you know, more and more I go down this path where I see that they pick and choose just as much as other medias do. And I think that that's what happened when money gets involved, right? That's what happens when money gets involved in anything. The topics will, what is going to get the attention? What's going to get the clicks? And that's not saying like, that's not putting them down. That's just saying like, news is a business and we know
it's all clickbait. Yeah. It's all sponsorship. It's all, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think for the majority, unfortunately, any of the traditional media, if you're Canadian, I highly suggest aggressively that you just stop watching it because it's not only damaging your brain, it's actively making you more depressed and making you more worried and making you more stressed. And when that happens, you can no longer see outside yourself to even care about the things that are going on because they've got you. You're so broke right now because everyone is so broke right now in Canada. You are just struggling to get by. And the last thing you need is like another stressor. So like most people will be at home or listening to this and they'll be like, yeah, but Kelsey, I have three kids in school, can barely buy groceries. Both of us work. We don't have time to care about things like MAID or things like, why is the Vimy Ridge being taken off of the passport? Like, and I fully hear you. I'm not belittling the situation. I'm trying to highlight it because that's my point, is they've done such a great job over the past 3 years of making sure that nobody in Canada can focus on anything but just depressive, just getting by type of situations that they can't and have no capacity to see outside of what is going on outside of their family units. And I fully respect that. And I do, because nobody wants more stress and pain
than
you already have to have. So yeah, Canada is a tricky country right now. I love being Canadian. I'm very, very proud of my service. I'm very proud of the Canadians I worked with. I'm very proud of being a Canadian. But more and more, the way that this current part, I guess, well, I would say administration, the way that Canada is going as a country, in my opinion, and several others, is there is a lot of great, but you are seeing a crumbling. You're seeing a foundation fall.
And when that's been for years.
That's been for years. Yeah. And that's been about the, take it if you will, this isn't a left or a right issue. I'm just using the name that's in the administration for almost a decade. There's a direct correlation here. And anybody who wants to say there isn't, just can't read a graph chart.
No, 100%. I'm 1,000% on your side with that. And it's, and you're seeing that. And as an entrepreneur, a business owner, I've seen it. It's hit me very hard. And I follow it on a very, very close basis. And I've seen how there's no support for small businesses.
No, none.
It's no support. It's crumbling. And the foundation of this country should be on small businesses and growing them in or not. And COVID was a perfect example of that. And now with, I mean, every time they say there's not going to be an increase in, and obviously everything just starts changing. I mean, I hear my wife on a regular basis where she never did this in the past. And she'd be like, I just went to buy eggs and a dollar or something more this week. Like it's like every week, something's going up. The price is changing. And we are luckily in a comfortable situation that it won't affect our bottom line drastically, but it does. You see it, you feel it. And you're seeing people that are working 9-to-5 jobs. How do they survive? And it's just credit. The only way they do is credit card debt. They get themselves in more and more debt, which the government loves.
I mean, they did that to my business during COVID. So we became a mask supplier for hospitals. We flipped our company to start making masks, you know, those really useless masks that everyone told us would work.
Yeah.
So we were making those for Ontario Hospital.
We were making those for gyms.
Yeah. So there you go. You got it.
Yeah.
So we were doing that. And then ultimately I realized that they weren't working and that this was all a big facade that I didn't want to participate in any longer. And we were a retail business and, you know, we lost 200 retailers overnight and you can't, that's not something that they can fund for you. So when they give you the CERB, they know you can't pay it back.
Yeah.
They love that shit. They love giving people money, small businesses money, where they know it's either not going to come back. Yeah. And all they have to do is look at all the small businesses with the $30,000 CERB they gave us, which most of us didn't even qualify for, which is ironic, but Amazon did and Walmart did and all of these big businesses did. And they could go, you know what, instead of sending another $200 million to Ukraine, which is just going in the pockets of a bunch of corrupt people, why don't we just wipe out the CERB so Canadian businesses can start growing again? But they don't want that.
No,
there's too much backing on big companies, man.
At all. I mean, I got hit very hard. I have two companies. One, we do vacation rentals, and the STAs up in Blue Mountain, everything, they shut everything down. So we couldn't rent. We had monthly bills because our condo fee, everything was still running. Mm-hmm. So, and I couldn't rent, and I I found a loophole around that. And I actually got my lawyer to do up a letter. And as long as somebody was displaced from their home, so even if you've been displaced for your house is getting infumidated, like anything, any situation, I was allowed to have you as long as you signed this doc. So I was still, I was the only person in this area was still renting, and they would come there to the city to try to tag me every other week. Mm-hmm. So I had that. And then Kimora, where we design, manufacturing, said boxing martial art equipment, 96%, 95% of our business is wholesale. All the gyms were closed. Mm-hmm. We had no customers. We were like, oh, what do? We have no customers. So it hit us. And then when we applied, they just shut us down. They're like, oh, you're retail. You're okay. You're online. And I'm like, no, my customers are not there. They don't get that. And there was no one to argue with this, no one to talk to about this. So I was drastically affected by it as well, right? And then that adds stress. That adds, I mean, there's so much involved with that. Just a very, very short, brief, I don't want to give him too much time, but let's talk about Trudeau. Like, what are your thoughts on Trudeau?
Oh, man.
Just let it go.
Let it rip. Look, there's in this world who you would look up to, who are leaders, who have either served their country, who have served their community, who have served anything. And this man has done nothing but serve himself. And you see that. And now the beautiful thing is he's going to die alone. And that's kind of what karma does. You know, you never wish ill will on people, but with his divorce, you know, you can only lie beside the devil for so long before you wake up and realize what you're with. And, you know, for the children's sake, my God, I'm so grateful that she decided to leave that individual, because nobody should be surrounded by somebody who is so corrupt. It's a very strange feeling. I remember back when I was younger and my parents would complain about the governments and, or, you know, taxes or this or that. My parents are long haul truck drivers. They still drive. And so, you know, fuel was always the number we would be having the conversation about fuel. And I remember that. Remember this conversation of my parents going, oh my God, CSIS just wrote a huge report about how he's been paid by the Beijing government for 8 years. Like, I never remember the true corrupt, the real corrupt, because it just wasn't happening on that level. I mean, there's always, but don't get it twisted. Left or right, there's backdoor deals everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's just how government gets done. That's just how it works. I've seen it firsthand. I've been a part of it firsthand.
Yeah.
It can be done. Yeah. Anything can be manipulated. But the thing that has blown my mind, you know, I'm going to be 34 now, watching this country crash and burn in a way that I just didn't know was physically possible, because this country was fairly strong. I mean, Canada had a really great stage on the world stage, representation. We were always the people that were doing the right things. We were the nice people. We were this, we were that. We were very freedom loving. And then it really started to shake with me when I started to see behaviors where there'd be little things trickle out about potential people that were in the Communist Chinese Party that were in our government, or things here and there. And I kind of started to connect dots and then have other conversations with people in intelligence and go, would this person be allowed to be associated with X if they were in this country? No chance. There's just too. The crazy thing is you still have people that sit down and believe that he's the right thing for Canada, while your inflation is through the roof like we've never seen. Housing is out of control. Immigration is not only skyrocketing. They're now telling you, why don't you just put somebody in your house that's illegally crossed? Yeah, okay, I'm going to put that with my 7-year-old kid in the house. You know, they want you to solve their problems. People can't afford groceries. People can't afford to go to
don't you agree that immigration is the reason why our administration is still here? Because he's allowing a certain demographic to enter, and these people are all voting for him at this point?
Yeah, I mean, look at this. For an example, the last election, 2021, I was going to vote. Like, I don't vote often. I was forced to vote when I was in the military. They sent us ballots. That's how it worked. Yeah. I voted for the conservatives because they were giving us the proper equipment, period. Yeah. You know, we weren't dealing with this bullshit where we send you over to Latvia and you have to pay for your own flights, where you have to pay for your own food and your own helmets, and you come home and you don't have a place to stay. Like, unacceptable on every single level. I can't even describe how not okay that is. But you know, I went to vote and I walked into the voting office. It was fairly late in the day and they had called the election already. They called the election, even though British Columbia and Alberta's votes hadn't been counted because of the time change. Because Ontario and Quebec, whether we like it or not, have enough people to vote and swing the vote. So they do such a good job lobbying in Ontario, and all the media is in Ontario and the capital is in Ontario. So they make sure that those people are manipulated to the point where there's no question that they're going to vote the way that they want them to vote. But what has happened is the reason that he keeps getting in power is because the generation before us who grew up with news in a way that they could trust the media, they still watch it like it's an IV at 5 o'clock. They tap that shit every day and they don't miss it. And that's why he got smart and he started paying off our media so that every time that voter was watching, it was only going to uplift him. But the reality is that's not what's happening in this country. The reality is that our country is crumbling because of the terrible immigration. He has no goddamn clue how to run foreign policy. We've seen that through and through.
Yeah.
He's the only prime minister in Canada where during the United Nations speeches, everyone got up and left. Yeah. That has never happened.
Yeah.
I'll tell you everything. And not only that, when you tell someone, other countries did this too, and so I understand that I'm nitpicking here, but when you tell someone, forget the issue, forget the word COVID, forget the word vaccine, just take those out. That's very hard to do, I understand, but take them out, replace them with whatever else you want. When you tell someone, do not get to feed your family unless you take this experimental, untested, unproven, long-term, not do this work anymore. You now are running the line of the Chinese Communist Party. And I don't give a fuck what you say. That is the reality. When you tell people you don't get to have a livelihood, which means you're potentially going to be homeless, rather us be homeless and struggling and on welfare, so we need you, than you would just let us say, I don't feel comfortable with your experimental bullshit in my child. So anybody who plays the gotcha card, like we do to people overseas, when we want them to do something called IE manipulation done by fear, you don't get to have a conversation anymore. You don't get my respect. I'm not listening to a goddamn word you say, especially after what you've done during those protests. And I was involved in that. Absolutely not. No chance. You're a high school drama teacher. And do you know what it takes to become a teacher in this country? The barrel, son.
Yeah.
Of the barrel is running this country, period. That's it.
No, I'm 1,000% on your side. 1,000% on your side.
I don't care if he was conservative.
It's 100%. It doesn't matter.
Liberal or conservative. No. He's a terrible leader. He's not a leader. That is not a leader. And that is not somebody who understands the world and how it works.
What's your mindset with the immigration? I mean, we're opening our doors. We're opening our doors on a daily basis to, I think it's correct me if I'm wrong, 4,000 immigrants a day coming into this country. We don't have the space. Ford in Ontario is opening up the Greenbelt. Those two construction companies that the Greenbelt was open to were at his daughter's wedding less than a year ago, giving a nice envelope. How? Huge. It's so fucking corrupt.
But it's they know that they can get away with it. That's why they do it openly like that, because they know there's no repercussions. No one's going to do anything.
There isn't, because everybody, there's this uproar and a protest happening. There's actually a protest happening today in the Green Belts. And it's so crazy, because the first thing they already said, oh, if this happens again, we will be more controlled than next time. There is no next time. They're going to build four hundred thousand homes. I don't even know what the number is. Some crazy number. And 4,000 immigrants. And they're not controlling where they are. So how it works, and I'm sure you're aware of it, there's two ways these immigrants are coming in, either through education or through opening up a business or investing into a business. In Ontario,
or just walking across.
Yeah, but a lot of it's the government's getting pocketed money on this, right? If you come in and you fund a business or you open a business, you got to invest $1.2 million in Ontario. But if you go to another province like Nova Scotia, you're investing $250,000. But you only have to invest in that business for 1 year, and then you can move the business to Ontario. So they're all migrating to Ontario. And it's getting, like, I live here. I live in Brampton, Ontario. It's so overpopulated. It's crazy right now. And it's just getting more and more and more and more. And you're seeing it just growing, 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 growing. And there's no control over it.
See, we have them just walk across.
Yeah.
Huh? BC border of Washington. They just walk through the forest. Right. And then they say asylum, and that's how it works. Like, it's not difficult to do. You can walk into Canada. We don't have like a real border. I can quite literally right now get off this Zoom with you and go across over to America and hop a ditch. I'm not kidding. It's a fucking ditch. So we don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
Our immigration policies are garbage. And you've seen that. Yeah. If our country and the people that were running it truly cared about Canadians, they would stop the immigration dead in its tracks because we don't have the money to fund it. We don't have the money to look after them. We don't have forget the money. We don't have the space. We don't have the housing. We don't have the economic support and ability to support them. And even if they come in with a business, let's talk about Vancouver for a second.
Yeah.
Jokes all the time about Vancouver, all the time, constantly. People think I'm horrible for it, but I can't help but joke, because at this point, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry.
Yeah.
This side of the country, you know how you guys speak French?
Yeah.
English, we speak Mandarin, we speak Farsi, we speak Pashto, we speak Cantonese, and maybe English if you're lucky. So there's no French. Forget it. That's not Canada's second language. We don't have a second language. Why? Because we don't have a culture. Canada has lost its culture. We do not. When I look at the world, I think about Mexico. Immediately I go, beautiful colors, warm, loving people, tacos, cookies, beds, that's Mayans. I think about Germany. Sketchy stuff. But Germany has a culture. You look at anywhere else in the world, they have a culture. America has a culture.
Yeah.
Right? Don't tread on me, my guns. They have a culture. Whether you're a liberal down there or not, that's on you. They have their own woke culture. They've made their own culture. And then you come to Canada and I go, are we? And no one can answer me that, because most people are not from here. We've taken some of the most immigrants in this world, and people are going to be like, well, that's, you're horrible. You should be welcoming people. Well, we should be, if they weren't literally getting paid more than the average veteran. If they weren't getting paid more than the average veteran that is homeless, which is 1 in 3, if they were actually doing some work. But instead, what we have is we have people from China come over and they have to buy property here, and then they leave it empty.
Yeah.
And they leave it empty, and we charge them a separate tax, but that tax doesn't really matter because it's about having a foothold in the country, just like they do to America by buying up all their farmland, and no one knows it outside of Air Force bases. So the problem with immigration when it goes unchecked like this is it's not only a strain on the system, it's a strain on the people in the country that have no say about the amount of people that come to this country. I get refugee status. I fully respect it. I'll take it all day. You're welcome in my books any day. There's a difference between refugee status and immigration.
Yeah.
Refugee status.
Huge. Yeah.
Right? So look at Syria. We brought tons of Syria. I go around here, there's more Ukrainians where I live, people from here. There's more people from India from here than there are people from here. And that's not to say there's a problem with it. becomes a problem when it's a burden on the system. And then the people that are from here that pay taxes here, that don't just take from here, but also pay for here. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Problem for me. I'm sorry. When my son goes to school and he's literally like one out of five white kids that is there and nobody else wants to speak English to him, get the fuck out of here. Stop telling me that we need to do more. No, if you're coming here and you're not coming as a refugee, escaping a war-torn country, you need to stand up if you're going to be Canadian. Don't tell me I don't get to have the Canadian national anthem anymore because it doesn't go with your culture. You're in Canada. Learn English or learn French. And if you don't like it, bye, go back. I'm so sorry, but I'm not going to sit there and argue with you like my neighbor who lives behind me, who speaks zero English. Here, I have to argue with him about a bee's nest. And he still, after a decade, has not learned English or just doesn't care.
I think it just doesn't care. There's no need to.
Not out here. If you go to Richmond, there aren't English signs. It's Cantonese and Mandarin, period.
Yeah.
What is it? Like mongering, but it's not. You have to understand our country is being wiped out.
I'm a thousand percent on your side. A thousand. There's not even a question. We argue about this on a regular basis. We talk about this in the office on a regular basis. I talk about this with my family and friends on a regular basis. And God, everything you're saying is just hitting home. Right? And when you talk about respecting where you are, understanding who you are. And the thing is the government is, like you said, at the beginning of this podcast, is aiding in that, where they're wiping out our history. So they're wiping it out. And then these immigrants are coming in. They stick to their own culture. They protect, they support their own culture. And then they're coming in financially with enough money, or they're getting enough funding from the government where they're buying up everything. In Ontario, all the farms are being bought up. All the businesses are being bought up. All the buildings, industrial, commercial buildings are being bought up. It's just like, and you're sitting here as an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for 27, going on to 28 years. And it's like, what the fuck is happening?
And you can't stop it. And that's the crazy thing.
You cannot even slow it down at this point.
No, you can't. And that's where it comes back to. Well, you know, they realized that they were dumping too much money here on properties and leaving them empty, or leaving their unsupervised teenagers here to drive the Lamborghinis 180 kilometers down Granville Street. You know, they're doing that, and that's okay. But when we say we want you to learn English, or we want you to support the country, or we want you to pay taxes, or we want you to participate, that's not okay. They don't allow that. So this year, my son's school, he went into grade one. Okay. And I remember it was right around like Diwali time. Out here, we have a massive Indian population, absolutely ginormous. Okay. Just huge.
Have you ever been to Brampton, Ontario?
I'm from Ontario. I'm born and raised.
I know that, but Brampton in the last 5 years is massive. Like, to the point where the last Diwali, there was so much fireworks here that they've actually brought up. They're bringing up a law against it now for the fireworks on Diwali because it was out of control. Yeah.
So they, I said to, we're going to celebrate Diwali at the school.
Yeah.
I said, well, no, you're not. Because last time I checked, this is a public school and we don't do religious affiliations. Because if that's the case, well, my husband's Jewish, so let's rock Hanukkah. Yeah. I'm recovering Catholic, so obviously Christmas. So then what else do we got that we can roll out? Are we doing Jehovah's Witness stuff? What else are we doing? Because this is not what I sent my, like, I did not send my son to a Catholic school. I did not send him to a religious affiliation. That means you don't get to sit there and push it on. Well, a lot of people. No, not a lot of people. Fuck that. Stop it. Stop it. I'm shocked the Canadian flag is still flying most days. Yeah. I'm shocked it's not flipped upside down in distress. Like, for example, my cul-de-sac, every year they paint. I mean, two car sizes of an entire Canadian flag in the cul-de-sac. You can see it from the air. It's unbelievable.
Awesome. That's right? Awesome. Yeah.
They paint it. This year, everyone's out there painting and I'm sitting in there and I'm just watching and, oh, Kelsey, how's it look from over there? I said, you need more red. Just go all the way over the white. You don't need it anymore. And my point is this country is not Canada to me. This country is a melting pot and I don't know what the culture is. It's not, if you're going to be here, try to be here. Stop trying to pretend and turn it into wherever it is that you had come from. Because I get that that's your culture and that's your family and that's the way you were raised. But you came to this country for the ideals of this country. So when these ideals are no longer here, what are you here for? I just don't understand. And that's the thing why when people are like, Kelsey, why do you still live here if you think it's so bad? I don't think it's bad. I don't think the people are bad. I think that the people that are pretending to be in power are worse than bad. I think they're uneducated. I think that they're inept. I think that they cannot literally country by themselves if they were shown a roadmap. I think no matter what we do, we're sold and we're bought and paid for, and it's too late. Yeah. And I believe that, and I believe that truly only because not only is that like factual, because we have CSIS to back that. And if you're listening and you don't know what CSIS is, go give it a hard Google. It's our CIA.
Yeah,
it's our people that don't exist. They exist and they go around and they do plenty of things and they're there. And when they write reports telling you that this country has been bought and paid for a decade, you need to listen to that. That is a problem. That means your tax dollars. That means everything you put into education. That means the way of life is going to shift drastically. That means in 2020, we had the Chinese Communist Party military training in Ottawa. I'm sorry, and on Salt Spring Island. When in history did we ever allow party militaries to come train with us?
This is in when?
In 2020. And yeah. On Salt Spring Island, they were seen marching on Salt Spring Island because it's an island that's so small, people wouldn't think they were noticed, but residents caught. So my point is, look, this country is bought and paid for, and that's okay if you don't like it, but go do a deeper dive. Don't take my word for it. Don't just listen to podcasters. Go dive into it. Don't Google, go outside of a platform, go on something like DuckDuckGo, get a VPN, because you won't find it if you don't have it.
Yeah.
And then you have the control of the media. The control of the media and Bill C-11. You're a content creator. Has it affected you?
100%.
100%. Your social media or just your YouTube?
It's both. Both. Both.
So do you talk about that on your show? About
It's hard to talk about because I would say 99% of people have no clue about it. When you're talking about it, you're trying to bring it to attention. And it's a very, very small amount of people that are creators that this affects. So it doesn't affect the average person. So no one cares about it, right? And right. I saw it on YouTube. Everything just numbers just dropped. Our ad revenue dropped. Everything dropped. We went from really doing well ad revenue to like making pennies now, like nothing. It's not even worth it anymore half the time, right? And that's why if you don't have sponsors on your podcast, what's the purpose of even doing this sometimes? And I do it because I just love having these conversations, but right. It's not what it was before, not even close to what it was before. And we've been running this podcast now. We're on episode 222 something. And that's with a 4-month layover when I was dealing with my issues. But it hit really, really hard.
Yeah. And so for people who don't fully understand that, when you go on your Facebook or your social media, because most of you, if you're, you know, Facebook, Instagram people, what it means is that you'll no longer see news. You'll no longer see, you won't have access to anything that the Canadian government doesn't want you to see. And that's called Bill C-11 and Bill C-36. And when that came in, that means that they can censor people like you and I. Yeah. Anybody like this conversation will not perform well on YouTube. You and I both know that. We're very aware of that. It is because they can pick and choose, and they've now forced Google and YouTube to then throttle people who are content creators in Canada talking about Canada. So how this affects you is you no longer will get to see outside of Canada. And what that looks like to me and rings bells to is the Soviet Union and the Chinese Communist Party and North Korea. They're now censoring, and not just censoring, they're telling you what is okay to see and not see. Anytime somebody says, no, you can't read that. No, you can't read that. That should be all your alarm bells freaking out.
100%.
Start connecting dots. This and this and this and this. You go, holy hell, what is happening here? Well, like I said, they bank on them not paying attention. And that's why all these things get passed. That's why MAID gets passed. That's why Bill C-11 gets passed. That's why all of these things that affect people who are either small business owners, not owned by corporations or government, and people who speak out against it, that's why it works, is because they bank on you not giving a shit and not writing your MPs and not showing up and making noise, because it's easier to just get through life right now than it is to put something else on your plate. And that's just the reality of living in this country right now.
You talked about something. Did you just mention something right there that kind of one of the issues I wanted to bring you on, because it's something that I don't have much knowledge on. I want to learn more about, and it's something that you are obviously very passionate about, is MAID, medical assisted in dying. Let's talk about that a bit. And I was just reading that it got postponed to March 17, 2024 for one aspect of it. Let's just let the audience know what it is. And because I could tell you right now, I would guarantee in the high 90% of people have no clue about this right now.
No clue. Absolutely no clue. And that's what's wild to me. So MAID is medical assistance in dying. It is often used in Canada and around the world if they do have the laws for it for the terminally ill or people who are dying in a very painful, slow death, which, you know, there's ways that you fix that. It's called better palliative care, but we don't do that. So what MAID is an opportunity which the governments have stated left, right, and like center, we're working really, really hard on depopulation. So the way that you can do that now is they've opened MAID up to the mentally ill. Medical assistance in dying is something that normally takes quite a while to get access to. You have to jump through a ton of hoops. You have to prove that you're terminally ill. You have to go down this quite a long path. Now it is so quick that it can be done within 24 hours. It's not only so quick to be done within 24 hours, they're offering it to you when you go into the hospitals asking for help. So what had happened and why it got brought up to me was in 2022, a person came to me and said, hey, a friend of mine was just offered assisted suicide by Veterans Affairs. And I said, you got to be kidding me. They're like, no, it started in 2019. And I said, do you have proof of it? And they're like, yep. And so this person went public with it. And that's why there was in 2022, there was an inquiry in Ottawa with the Minister of Veterans Affairs. They did the inquiry, which is a waste of absolute time and government tax dollars because it meant nothing, did nothing. They brought in Christine Gauthier, who was the Olympian, Paralympian, who was offered MAID, who I've had on my show. And then another individual who actually fled the country because he was so fearful of the government after leaking it, an audio recording of them offering MAID. He called to get support for PTSD and traumatic brain injury, and instead they offered a medical assistant in dying. So they do it in a way that's very nonchalant, where they're like, well, you know, I understand that's really difficult for you, but what about MAID? Have you ever thought about it? And so a really great example of this is this week in British Columbia, a lady walked into one of the hospitals in BC, and she said, I'm here because I need to check myself in. Normally in Canada, we do a psych hold of 72 hours if somebody says that. Instead, they offered her MAID. So number one, that makes it illegal. Let's just acknowledge that.
Yeah.
All the way through. That's not supposed to be offered to anybody that's terminally ill until March of 2024. So you're now breaking the law. Boom. Number two, it started to be offered to Canadian veterans years ago. It was offered to military first. Experimental. I think the government wants to try out first. Vaccines, we're always the first to get them. And then things like MAID. Because if you can get one part of the community to do it, the rest will follow. So MAID is being now offered to people who are not terminally ill. They've now broadened the scope to be individuals who are struggling with mental health. Now, let's look at mental health for 2.5 seconds. We know that suicide is an impulse. We understand that suicide is a moment where your brain is overwhelmed and it is an impulse decision. And that's why you'll never see a woman use a gun. It's very rare. It's normally pills, men or hanging. Men will use a gun. These are impulse decisions when we're at our weakest moment, when we are at our most vulnerable moments that we ultimately decide our brain takes over and we can't do it anymore. Now, let's put this into context. You or I were having one of those moments and walked into a Canadian hospital right now, August 14th. They would offer us MAID instead of giving us the care that we are, as a Canadian citizen who pays into a healthcare system, should be given. They're not only doing it to them now. They're saying things like fibromyalgia, depression, any of those things, which we understand depression can be fixed, even if you are considered treatment resistant, or major depressive disorder, which I have both. So don't tell me you can't be saved and don't tell me that you can't be healed, because I disagree with that wholeheartedly. It's just dependent on how much your doctor is paid to do so. So they've been offering it. And here's where the kicker happened. This is where I got the veterans are one thing. All of us will fight for each other. We're a community of people. We will fight for each other. Then they started offering it to civilians. So I was leaked a slideshow ago from somebody I knew. And she said, this was given to my dad when he got his pension package. And it is a multi-page slideshow offered by British Columbia Fraser Healthcare. And at the front, it says, we're so excited to show you and introduce to you the new option called MAID. And I have the slideshow. And on the back end, to the Daily Mail, the Daily Mail reached out to Fraser Health asking for comment and asked them, how many people did you show this to? Fraser Healthcare System blatantly lied to the Daily Mail and said they didn't share it with anyone. Well, the back end metadata shows thousands. Thousands of Canadians who were just pensioners, who were healthy otherwise, were offered MAID as a way to get off of this face of the earth and no longer deal with the struggles that Canada is putting them through. So they're literally trying to MAID you off the face of the earth by population control. And they are doing it in a way that no one is paying attention to. And here's the sick and twisted part about it. You have Canadian companies capitalizing on it, like Simon's Department Store in Quebec. Simon's Department Store last year had to run a TV ad. Lesson, very impressionable children, which we understand that when you plant seeds, sometimes that's all you need to do. So they ran an ad advertising their new dinnerware, their new glassware, while a lady ran around with bubbles talking about how she chose to end her life using MAID. And they made it this big, beautiful commercial. You can look it up. It's on Simon's Department Store. They did it and no one seems to care. So MAID is being turned into like the next cool thing to do. They're doing it so fast that when somebody enacts MAID, there was a lady in BC, a mother who used MAID to take her life, not terminally ill, nothing like that. So fast that the RCMP were involved because the daughters are literally going after the government for homicide because they are killing people, straight up killing you. And they're not just doing it and like once in a while offering it. I have individuals who are in the hospital for an overnight surgery who were, you know, 60s, who were offered it three times in one night.
You're not hearing any of this at all.
Why would you? Just like you didn't hear about Bill C-11 until the bill was already passed.
This is absolutely crazy. I'm in awe right now. I'm in awe right now. And I had no idea it had got to that point. And there's no media, like you said, the media, the government's controlling the media because there's no media about this. There's no one talking about this besides you. Like I heard it from you. If I didn't hear from you, or if I wasn't following you on social media or heard about you, and I think I originally found you from Dan from Drinking Bros podcast. I was on his podcast and then he was on mine. And then I guess somehow I saw your post or you're on his or something. And that's how I got kind of started following you. But and it's funny because it wasn't even through a Canadian, it was through an American. I started following you. And how crazy is that, right?
Yeah, because we can see some of them. And like Dan and them are my community. They're, you know, a group of veterans. Dan and Ross and those guys are friends of mine. And I went down this year to do stuff for the book and Dan was like, let's talk about MAID. And I was like, let's do it. Like, let's. And then once that happened and Fox caught it, then Daily Mail caught it, then Piers Morgan caught it. Like people are listening. And then Joe Rogan heard about it through me. So these things are happening. People are listening, but they need to be louder because the problem is when you know, I was just in a documentary with for the BBC through a disabled activist in the UK named Liz Carr. Okay. She's an actress and an activist. And she goes, do you think that there should be allowed a law to have medical assistance in dying for anyone? And at first I was like, yeah, because I think everybody should have the right to choose how they end their life with dignity.
Okay.
And then she walked me through why we can't. Because once you crack a law open like that, at any age, you don't get to choose what walks through. Meaning, we had this for terminally ill, but now it's being amended. And then it's being amended. And then it's being amended and amended and amended. Next thing you know, we look at kids down to the age of 12 with parent consent. Now you look at maybe children between the newborn and 1 year old if they've got neurological disorder. Like now you're looking at some serious consequences when you let these laws happen. So now I really am one of those people who's like, no, we're not doing this in Canada at all. If you would like to enact MAID, go to Switzerland, go to Amsterdam, go somewhere else. But Canada is the fastest growing country in the world using MAID.
I see. These are all things I've had no clue about.
I'll send you the slideshow after.
No, I 1000% believe you.
It'll blow your mind.
How do we even like you're doing your part, but you're one person. you're one voice. How, and this is obviously another platform, but how do we bring it to media, or how do you bring it to public eye to bring this attention in the numbers? Like you said, this podcast will be, you know, very little people are going to probably end up hearing this, but I'm going to push and promote the clips. But it's crazy where, and like you said, this is only going to keep growing and growing and growing and growing. And the scary part is how far will they push it? And when you're looking at vets, is there a correlation between not wanting to pay pensions and just
100%?
Yeah.
Served 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 in the 20-year war, right? Yeah. So we're all kids when we got hurt. Pretty young. I don't even believe 18's old enough to do anything after being 18 and doing that job. Like, I'm sorry, no. But yeah, that's what happens, because now you have to pay us out till we're like, what, 65, 75. So you save the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars if you just kill us instead.
It's messed.
Yeah.
That's messed.
Mm-hmm.
When you do bring this to people's attention, like, is this, do you see it being shut down, your views? Like, obviously you said when you're dealing with American media, you're getting probably more attention than you are with the Canadian media. Is there outlets?
I get no attention with the Canadian media.
Is there any outlets in Canada besides you, myself? Like, is there other outlets that are talking about this at all or no?
I believe, you know, there's some other podcasters. I know there are some other podcasters that are talking about it, but they're not talking about it to the extent in which I think I'm screaming about it. I'm over here saying our house is on fire and no one's paying attention. And I'm doing everything I can to get this on the biggest platforms of the world, because all I need people in Canada to do, if you do one thing, if you decide I'm going to do one thing, look up and make a phone call to someone about this, because it'll be your kid who's having the bad day. It'll be your parent who went into the hospital for a surgery. It will eventually touch you somewhere and somehow, but don't wait till it's already taken someone from you. Do you know what I mean?
And it's crazy, is anytime you're dealing with a suicide, I mean, it's the family, it's the friends that are so
ripple effect.
Oh God. That I think is the biggest ripple effect, where it's the pain and suffering for family members and loved ones and parents and siblings, like that is life altering, right? That never, ever will. There's never peace with that at all.
No, it's game changing. And why wasn't I good enough to stay for? Why didn't they love me enough? Why didn't daddy want to be here? Why didn't mommy want to do this? Like that follows you into your relationships. That follows you into your perception of the world and human beings and whether people will stay and leave. And when you say that mate is an option, you're telling those who are mentally, who have been struggling with mental health for, you know, ever. You've got like Bell Let's Talk. I mean, how hilarious is that now when you look at stuff like that? Because it's like you've got the same government pushing to kill you as you have of, you know, let's talk about it first. No, you don't want to talk. You never did want to talk. You wanted us to die because we're cheaper that way. And that's what they've done to veterans, and they will continue to do. And they've been caught over and over again. And, you know, they went on Mercedes Stevenson's show and said, it's only been 5 people and 1 case manager, but we have evidence of over 20 and multiple case managers.
Yeah. It's been over 20 in the last, and what period of time?
That they've offered made to. We know that some veterans have taken it, but we don't know who they are. Yeah. That's
crazy. Scary.
Since like, I believe 19 till now. Yeah. So my thing is, if you're listening to this and you're like dumbfounded, like most of us, don't take my word for it. Go on the GC.org website. You'll see it on there under MAID. It'll be written up, and then go listen to people who have had their family members taken by MAID when they weren't even made aware, you know, like go listen to the ripple effect that this causes, and educate your teenagers and your young people that if they're in a hospital by themselves or they're around medical professionals by themselves, if that word ever gets brought up, that they're to report it immediately, and that that is not okay, not acceptable, and that you are worth living for. And no one at any point should be using MAID. We should have better healthcare, better palliative care, and we should look after our people when they are dying instead of telling them it's just easier to shoot you up with something and have you leave, because it's not. You deserve to be here just as much as anybody else does. for God's sakes, we allow millions of immigrants in here every single day that we would never offer made to. Stop offering it to the actual Canadians here that pay your taxes.
Love that. Love that. When did you take pen to paper and start writing a book? What? When did you take pen to paper and start writing your book? When did I start that journey?
Five years ago.
So it was a good journey then.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote the last three chapters last year and I left it dormant for a while. We were going back and forth with publishers for a little while. And then COVID hit, obviously wasn't time to put a book out.
Yeah.
And then, I got the publishing deal last year and it came out July 11th of this year. And so it's interesting because we definitely thought that Indigo would be more willing to support, but we saw that they definitely were not. It was a really fascinating part. I'm one of the only female veterans to have a book in existence. And so we definitely thought there would be a little more pickup in Canada, but there hasn't been. It definitely is doing very well in America. Canada's been an interesting duck for sure.
Why do you think that is? And I know what the answer is, but I wanted you to say.
I'm hypercritical of what's going on in our country, and I'm hypercritical of how these mistakes were made. And I'm also hypercritical of how you correct them. And people don't want answers. People want talking heads. People like me can give you answers to tell you why it is this way. That doesn't mean that you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, give me a little Cole's note of your book. Is it about your journey? Like, give me a little understanding of it.
It starts, man, from when I was young. It's a memoir. It goes all the way back from when I was fighting at a very high competitive level, at a national level. That was supposed to be my career.
Explain fighting.
I was a high-level Taekwondo competitor.
Okay, very, very cool.
Yeah, so it starts from there. And it, you know, there was a reason why I stopped fighting. I won't give it away. It's definitely in the book. And it gets me through, you know, the dark times, go into the military, the deployment, the stuff that happened on deployment, then the decade after of suicidal ideation, the trauma, the everything that goes when you're not supported, everything that goes when you come back with post-traumatic stress disorder and undiagnosed traumatic brain injury, all the way through the healing portion of it into psychedelics, which I ultimately is a huge advocate for. And I am a psychedelic integration coach. So I work with people in medicine. It brings you into the present. It brings you through how I started the company, Breath and Unity. It brings you through how I started the podcast, who I work with, and ultimately what we do. It basically stopped. The year before. So after the Afghan pullout is when the book ends, when we brought an Afghan family over who were the head of the women's rights division of the Afghan government. They're actually in Ottawa. And somewhere in New York. So we, you know, it's a wild journey, but the theme throughout it is the voice in everyone's head. You know, there's this voice that shows up in this book and it shows up throughout every chapter. And it's the voice that we all have. It's the negative self-talk. It's that conversation that happens when no one's listening. That thing that tells you to do things when you don't want to do it. The thing that tells you that maybe you should take your life. And this book goes all the way through. And it's not a military book. This is a book of just someone's life that I think will resonate with others because there's so much ups and downs in our lives, but reason people feel like they're alone and they're not. And so this illustrates that in a really, really cool way. And I'm really proud of it, quite happy with it. And I hope that people go and grab a copy and take a listen to the audiobook, which is out, I think, this month. And, or I read it too.
I was going to ask that. Did you do that reading part of it? Okay, good for you.
I did do the reading of that. Yeah, that was rough. I never want to do that again. But it is a good book. I will say, it's forwarded by a lot of incredible, you know, Purple Heart recipients, badass people, Navy awesome. SEALs, Army Rangers. I'm very lucky to have the support, that I have, the British I served with, as well as some of the top doctors, in Canada that do PTSD research also reviewed it and, wrote in it for me too. So I'm very lucky, to be in the position I am in. I'm very aware of it. I don't take it for granted. I'm very careful with my words and everything that I've said. In that book, I stand behind 100,000%, just like everything I said on the show, I stand behind. And like I said, don't take our word for it. Go do your own research because you need to.
Before we end this podcast, I got two more things I want to quickly talk about. Let's dive into that quickly. Let's dive into that. The whole microdose, mushrooms, all all that stuff that you stand behind and teach and all that stuff. Now let's, when did you get into that? How is that a part of your life? And what are the benefits to it? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I'll make it very brief because I got to jump soon, yep. But I will tell you, you know, SSRIs are one of the highest overprescribed medications, especially in North America. And I'm talking about antidepressants. They're given to everybody to fix every problem, and 100%. They're not a solution.
Yeah.
In the doctor's handbook, it says 2 months max. Well, I was on it for a decade. The damage that SSRIs can do to your body long term are irreparable, and they do have long term repercussions. And I will warn you against that. Not saying that you shouldn't be on them if you need them, but I am telling you, plenty of people who have been diagnosed with schizophrenia and bipolar go into the hospital. And if you're with a good enough doctor, the first thing they're going to do is prescribe 7 hours of working out every day. And after 2 to 3 weeks of that, you're going to see a different human being that might not need a medical intervention. But that is not a way to make money, right?
Yeah.
So psilocybin, I'm talking about magic mushrooms. They are being brought forward in science and research because they're seeing incredible neural regeneration that happens with them, as well as antidepressant properties.
Yeah.
So microdosing is something that I do, that I work with the clients with. Microdosing can help you get off of your SSRI, and it can also replace your SSRI. And you don't need them forever, just like anything else, right? They're absolutely fantastic for multitude of reasons, but microdosing in itself is a way to help yourself start to heal. It's really, really great. It can help to change your brain chemistry so that you're not stuck in these feedback loops where it can actually, like, basically you throw fresh snow down on top of a bunch of holes in the ground, and it's going to help fill those. So your brain is making new pathways to change up the behavior. I really believe in medicine, but I also believe that the person has to want to do the work. You can take the pill, but if you're not doing the work on the front end and the back end, then you're just on a trip, right?
Yeah.
So I sit with medicine, ayahuasca, psilocybin, 5-MeO. All of these different ones have different healing properties, and there's a reason for them all. But the biggest thing that needs to be preached is the integration work on the front end and the back end. And that can be, what is the intention that you're using the medicine for? Why are you using it? What is the objective for using the medicine? And then going into the medicine with that mindset, and then coming out, and then learning that you've learned from the medicine and integrating them into your life, whether that's learning how to be a more patient human being, whether that's learning how to let go, whether that's learning on how to move past trauma. You know, the work is really on the front and the back end. The medicine is just the catalyst point. So, you know, there's a lot of research. You can definitely check out Heroic Hearts Project if you're a veteran or first responder. In Canada, there is Heroic Hearts Project Canada is starting. That is a little bit of a different platform that goes through the SAP process. But I am about in September to be the proof of concept patient for a company in Canada to do a macrodose of synthetic psilocybin that will be available eventually throughout the SAP process. And people will have access going through that as well, which is the special access program in Canada. And so there is a light at the end of the tunnel from a depression standpoint, from a healing standpoint. And there are plenty of tools coming down the pipeline that are not just medicine related. If you're like, I don't want to do mushrooms. Okay, cool. I got you. You don't have to start there. Let's start with grounding. Take your shoes off. Go in the forest. I'm not joking. Take your shoes off. Go stand in the grass for 10 minutes
a day. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I do that in the water.
Yeah, you get it.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
And as crazy as everything you're saying right now, it's you have a high massive platform where Joe Rogan is promoting it all the time, which is incredible because you're getting a huge audience listening to it all the time. So I love that you're talking about it and you're the face of it. How just one last question with that is, you're saying you're going to be doing it over the next little while. So what is your long-term goal? Like, how, when do you think it'll be available for public? Is this like 2 years, 3 years? What do you plan?
This isn't my company. There is a pharmaceutical company in Canada. I'm working with Apex Labs that is doing it.
Yeah.
There are veterans that run that as well, which is quite fantastic.
Apex Labs?
Yeah, Apex Labs. I don't anticipate it to be too long. I mean, like, let's look around the world here. We're starting to see a trend, you know, Australia legalized MDMA. We've got ketamine therapy here. We've got MDMA therapy here.
Yeah.
I believe psilocybin is going to be the next kicker. So it's just like cannabis. You know, I started getting off of pharmaceutical intervention using cannabis, and I went from 11 different drugs to none. Yeah. And there are ways to do it. And they've given me all the labels in the world about treatment resistant, major depressive disorder, PTSD, TBI. I've got them all.
Yeah.
But I'm on no medication because I can manage using other modalities. And so that's the kicker, is just because they tell you you need it, you need to do your own research before you take it, because some of these things have long-term repercussions, and you need to understand that it's okay to have medication, and I'm not shaming you for it. What I'm saying is, that might be the old way of doing it. And there are a lot of new ways, tons of ways you can heal differently.
Yeah, I 1000% agree with you. 1000% agree with you. This has been awesome. Where could our audience get a hold of you? Follow you?
Yeah, so I mean, our social media is still there for now. But the brand page is at Brass and Unity. My personal one is at Kelsey_Sharon. And then ultimately, everything is on our website at brassandunity.com. You can go and we have signed copies of the book there now, which are really great. If you don't want to wait for us, you can get it on Amazon. You can go to Indigo and yell at them and tell them to bring more in. Everything I do is there. The Brass and Unity podcast is out weekly. We have tons of incredible guests just like you do. Our show literally is, it's crazy, but it is got a mental health undertone, but we talk to the, you know, the top in the world about a million different topics about their lives, how they've gotten through things. That's available on every different platform, including Patreon, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple.
This is awesome. This is, I greatly appreciate having you on. I'm sure we're going to continue this conversation. Yes, and
you're the best.
I mean, I love this podcast. Such a great conversation. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.